Indeed, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord and Savior says to you this morning in your hearing, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Yes, the truth will set you free. Free from sin, death, and the devil. For today we celebrate the anniversary of the Reformation of our church, an act started by one Martin Luther in the 16th century. This reforming has led the church to observe all that God has both commanded us and delivering for us the true gospel. As the five solas given during the Reformation say, sola fide, which is by faith alone, sola scriptura, by scripture alone, solus Christus, by Christ alone, sola gratia, by grace alone, and sole Deo gloria, glory to God alone. Isn't it true about us that we also want to do things that we just cannot do? But actually, we don't do the things that we're supposed to do. I can't move mountains or heal the sick, but I really want to. I can, however, pay my taxes. But I'd rather not do that, if at all possible. We covet that which we can't do, and we flee from that which we're supposed to be doing. Especially we flee from those things God gives us to do. We make the whole thing about us. Not to do more, but to do our will instead of his. Forget taxes. I want to move mountains. Don't ask me why. I haven't really thought that far ahead. But we have heard in scripture that it only takes about a mustard seed's worth of faith to move a mountain. But then we try to read that as some kind of a challenge. The independence is hilarious. We figure the goal is being able to do everything ourselves. And we'll get there by fearing, loving, and trusting in God above all things. We want just enough faith to not have the need for God that we have our faith in. Sin makes us stupid, really. But the Son of Man has this all under control. He goes to bear the cross for sinners and to rise from the dead. It's kind of distressing, isn't it? It's not our will that Jesus save us. We're too busy trying to move mountains. Martin Luther saw this during his lifetime in the 16th century. We know this is the situation from before that time and even all the way up to our present day. Yeah, God is nice and all that, but we still really believe it is ourselves who are in control in every aspect of our lives. And yeah, Jesus is pretty cool too, but still, I can do it by myself. Thank you very much. Jesus also says in our gospel today, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I want you to listen. Hear what the good Dr. Luther Martin himself spoke in a sermon once about this very topic. This is how our dear Lord Jesus Christ is here preaching to all counterfeit Christians. They enjoy sermons about grace and the forgiveness of sins that the Father in heaven, for the sake of his Son Jesus Christ, has suspended judgment, condemnation, death, and hell, guilt and pain, a bad conscience, and all misfortune, and now instead has given grace, life, salvation, good conscience, and the kingdom of heaven without our merit or work. Such a sermon, I would say, the pseudo-Christian would like to bear, they'd like to hear, but that they, in turn, should show mercy, love, compassion, friendliness, and every kindness with what they have, but they will do nothing at all. That is why we must preach to such pseudo-Christians and say, it is true. God, out of pure grace, has forgiven all guilt and trespass, as declared by the example of Matthew 18, of the servant with whom the master wanted an accounting. On the other hand, you should also know that even though God has rescued you from sin, death, hell, and punishment, and made a country squire out of you, he nevertheless demands interest from you, in that you should be gracious to your fellow man and set aside punishment and condemnation as God has done for you. If you do that, you are a true Christian. If you do not, but on the other hand, accept God's forgiveness of your sins, while, on the other hand, subject your fellow Christian, clobbering and stripping him, then you are a false Christian who does not believe God has bestowed his grace on you. For if you sincerely believe this, you would do unto your fellow man as God has done unto you, even if your fellow man does not deserve it. You should nevertheless do so for God's sake, to pay in return what you owe to him. That's what Luther preached. Oh, and many more things he preached about. But all that loving the neighbor business, that doesn't apply to us, does it? No. Does it? I mean, seriously, why did all those prophets and apostles and all them other people that wrote, given by the breath of God, the Word, the Holy Word, to be written for our edification, to digest, to contemplate, and to get a better understanding of what God's will for us is, and how he has given us the power to carry them out. Why did they bother doing all that? Why did Martin Luther set into motion a reform of the church all those many years ago, and which is still practiced very much so here today, even in the very church that you're sitting in this morning? It's so you learn how to better love your neighbor and serve mankind, not to serve yourself. That, as our Lord says to you today, makes you a true Christian. And that's the truth. G. Jesus knew you'd have a hard time believing all of this. Christ said, I know you are an offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your Father. He knew you would not believe, but have itching ears to twist God's word of law and gospel into something that, you know, maybe a little bit better adjustable and comfortable for myself. It's more about what you think it should be. Why, one of the first things Martin Luther did concerning the Reformation was he was able to translate the Bible into a language that you could understand. And if I stood here and preached in Latin or Greek, of what benefit would that be for you? None, would it? If I pronounce the forgiveness of all your sins in some mumbo jumbo, to what good would that be for you as you are in anguish and turmoil over whether or not you are going to go to heaven? You know, because when you go to heaven, selfishly we think that we'll get to see our loved ones who have gone before us, and we get to sit ourselves at the right hand of God in Jesus Christ. Read the Bible, my friends. That's not what takes place in heaven. What takes place in heaven is prayer. Unceasingly will you be on your knees praying, giving thanks to God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit working through your life. You'll be singing songs of thanksgiving and praise to God, and you're going to love it. And that's for all eternity. Listen again to what St. John wrote in his Revelation. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. It's what we're supposed to do. It's a far cry from what we would like to do. And also here again from our psalm for today, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. But be still and know that I am God, he says. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, like we just sang. We give thanksgiving and praise to God Almighty for the wonderful blessings that he has bestowed upon us. This church universal, the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of all of our sins, and the bountiful work that this one, Martin Luther, did for reforming the church, just so that we can do that which is true, right, and salutary at all times and in all places. Amen. Now the peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.